About piercing the darkness. I think already here today, in the early service and in the service, we've already been piercing the darkness with our praise and worship of God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You're already in a place where the darkness is being pierced. But let me start with this. Speaking of Jesus, John's Gospel says this. Take this into your heart. Take it into your soul. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God.
Amen.
He was with God in the beginning.
Amen. Yeah.
Through Him, everything was made. And without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life. And that life was the light of men. Brothers and sisters, the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness cannot, will not, is not, will not overcome it.
Amen.
The darkness will not win. Jesus will defeat the darkness wherever it presents itself, right up to its final and utter defeat. I want to look today at how Jesus, in the passage of scriptures we're going to look today, pierced social darkness, He pierced physical darkness, and He pierced spiritual darkness. We're going to be looking at Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. We're picking up the story immediately away from last Sunday. If you were here last Sunday, or if you've tuned in online, or if you checked it out on YouTube, you can check it out on our podcast if you want to. We were looking about how Jesus calmed the storm in Matthew chapter 4. Today we're looking at the exact next story that absolutely parallels the previous story. So in the previous story, the disciples are crossing from Capernaum to a place called Gadara or Gerasa, depending on how you pronounce it. They're coming across the lake. A massive storm blows up. A spiritual storm, as it were, blows up. And the disciples are frightened. They're scared. They wake Jesus and they say, "Lord, don't you care that we're going to drown?" And Jesus stands up and He rebukes the wind and He rebukes the waves and says, "Silence, be still." And everything became calm.
Amen.
Everything became calm. And it says in the scriptures, immediately after everything became calm, the disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey Him." Today I'm going to tell you who this man is. This man is Jesus. He is the King of Kings and He is the Lord of Lords. He is the name above all other names. He is the name at which every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's who this man is. They didn't really fully recognize Him. They didn't really fully see who He was, but He was being revealed to them. And sometimes we don't fully recognize who Jesus is, but He reveals Himself to us in our circumstances and our situations and shows who He is. But before I get to today's story, I want to flash back to Mark's Gospel chapter 3. Jesus is speaking. At this point in Mark's Gospel, a super fast gospel, it's a really short, high-paced gospel, not an awful lot of details in there. It's supposed to be Peter's account of these events. Jesus has been accused by those who are His enemies, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, that He's casting out demons by the power of the devil. And they said, "That's how you're doing it. You're able to do it because you're in league with the devil. You're speaking the devil's words and you have the devil's power." But Jesus said, "You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about." And this is the illustration He used. He said, "Who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man and plunder his goods?" Who can break into the house of a strong man and steal the things that belong to him? He said this, "Only someone even stronger." Someone who could tie him up and then plunder his house. And then Jesus went on to demonstrate this very reality by going into the strong man. If there is a strong man in your life, if there's a strong situation that you cannot resist in your life, if there's a power in your life or in the lives of someone that you love that seems irresistible, I have good news. Someone stronger is here today. Someone stronger is in this house today. Stronger than what assails you. Stronger than what assails those around you. We pick up the story in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. God bless us as we listen to your word today. Lord, may we have ears to hear, hearts to understand, souls to believe and comprehend what you would say to us today in Jesus' mighty name. And God's people said,
amen.
Darkness falls. From the events that have just flowed, we know that Jesus left Capernaum as it was evening, near sunset. He crossed the lake into the storm. And while he was in the storm, the time continues, and by the time they get to the other side, it's now dark. So the context of all the events we're going to look at now, and I know many of you are very familiar with them, they all happen in the dark. So as Jesus' boat is arriving, as it hits the shore near Gadara, there's complete darkness. Remember, there's no street lights. There's only basically oil lamps or torches, as in flame torches. That's all people have. They have no light at all other than the moon. So he crosses the lake and his boat, the bow of his boat hits the beach at Gadara, and this happens. So they arrived on the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. The Gerasenes were the people who lived in this area. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed, a man owned by an evil spirit, came out of the tombs to meet him. Just as the bow strikes the beach in the darkness, Jesus climbs out of the boat and a man comes running towards them. He comes out of the tombs. He lives in the graveyard. No sane person lives in a graveyard. He lived in the graveyard amongst the dead. He himself was socially dead. He was spiritually, in terms of life, dead. But he was possessed. He was the property of someone else. Somebody owned this man. This evil spirit owned him. It goes on to say this. This man lived in the burial caves. No, and he could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever they put him into chains and shackles, as he often was, because they had to control this crazy guy, he snapped the chains from his wrists and he smashed the shackles. Can you imagine that? He's bound up in chains. You go, you get a gang of lads, almost certainly a gang of lads would have done that, tied him up, wrapped him up, and 20 minutes later, he's running around as mad as he ever was with all the chains broken as he smashes the shackles. He smashes the shackles. Can you imagine somebody who can break a chain? He's not snapping little ropes here. He's not snapping cable ties. He's breaking chains. But this man who could break chains was about to meet the real chain breaker. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. Yeah. And if you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. Hallelujah. He breaks chains. He still breaks chains. It goes on to say this. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Oh, no one that he had met yet. Hallelujah. No one that he had met yet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. He had so much strength, he could break chains, but he had no power over himself. He was a mighty man of muscle, but he had no power over himself. I'll bet you know people like that. I know people like that. People who have great strength, great ability, but they have no power over themselves. It says day and night he wandered among the burial caves and the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. Now put yourself on the boat. You're with Jesus, you're heading across the lake, finally everything is calm, and as you head towards the shore in Gadara, what do you hear? And the disciples think to themselves, oh great, this is going to get better real soon. And he's howling and screaming and he's cutting himself with stones. Self-harm is not new. It's one of the oldest tricks of the enemy. He's just not creative that way, lads. He's just not creative. It's not a modern phenomenon. He's cutting himself with sharp stones. Maybe you know someone who's self-harming. Maybe you know someone who, with their habit, is cutting themselves regularly through the habits that they pursue, through the things that have control over them. They cannot keep on harming themselves. But they haven't met Jesus yet. Amen. Because he changes things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It says this: when Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him. He ran to meet him and bowed low before him. He runs towards Jesus. I bet you the disciples started climbing back into the boat. I bet you they did. They said, "Oh, right, lads, let's head back for Capernaum." I guarantee you they did. But this man runs towards him. And remember, he's screaming. He's howling. And he runs and he throws himself in front of Jesus and bows before him. You see, even though he was demon-possessed, it couldn't stop him from coming to Jesus. Here's a simple lesson. James says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And as this man drew near to Jesus, Jesus drew near to him. As he threw himself at the feet of the one who I think he must have known had the power to free him. Something was going on. He knew he was bound. He knew he was changed. He knew he was possessed. He comes before him and it says this: and with a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." In another gospel, Luke's gospel says, "I beg you, leave me alone." And so many people I've experienced over the years have known that God is after them, has known that the Lord is putting his hand on their lives, but they said, "Lord, leave me alone. Just leave me alone. It's too hard. I'm too frightened. It's too difficult. I can't do it. Lord, leave me alone." For Jesus had already said to the man, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Now, it's so twisted, right? The guy's personality is so twisted, it's hard to tell when are the demons speaking and when is the man speaking. Is it a spirit? Is it the man's spirit? Is it the demon spirits? Has he got multiple spirits? It's all a complete twist. And the further we move away from God, the more twisted we become.
Yeah.
Amen.
He says this. But then Jesus does something so unbelievably radical. It's so radical and so amazing that you go, "What? Really? That's what he did?" Jesus said, "What's your name? What's your name?" He just said to him, "What's your name?" Now let me tell you this. Jesus is not addressing that question to demons. Jesus never asked demons for their names. Okay? So just, if you have that stuck to your shoe that you heard years ago, Jesus never asked a demon for his name, okay? Just get it out of your cung. He doesn't do that. That's not what he does. He doesn't talk to demons and he doesn't engage with them. Why? Do you think they were going to tell him the truth? They don't do truth. He said to the man, "What is your name?" It's like so basic. You see, this is a man who's mad. He's wild. He's crazy. No, you've seen the story. He can't be bound. He can't be restrained. He cuts himself. He's crazy. If it was you and me, would we go towards him? No, we'd probably avoid him. Maybe you wouldn't, but I can tell you I would. If my neighbour was out in the back garden at night, stripped naked, cutting himself in stones, going, "Oh!" I don't think I'd be asking him to borrow a cup of sugar.
Oh.
I don't think I would. I'd be praying for him, I can tell you that. But I probably wouldn't go too close to him. But Jesus goes right up to him, unafraid. "What's your name? What's your name?" And the man is so twitched. You know, try this. If you ever want to connect with someone, I mean, really connect with someone, ask them their name. Hello? It's not that hard. It really isn't that hard. Ask them their name. Brothers, if you're young and single and looking for a girl, walk up to a girl who's not married, of course, another young girl, and ask her, "Hi, what's your name?" It's like it's an easy question. You draw near to her, she'll draw near to you. Moving on. "What's your name?" And the answer is creepy. He replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man. My name is Legion, he answers. That's what they call me, Legion, because there are many of us inside this man. But here is something I want to tell you for sure. His name was not Legion. That wasn't his name. Whatever name his mother, when he was born, they didn't say, "Hello, Mrs. Gentile, you've just had a baby. Look, here he is. What do you want to call him?" "I think I'll call him Legion." Nobody can all cause their child that name. That wasn't his name. But you know, it's who he had become. That's who he had become. And here's the thing. Anything you give way to, whether it's the devil, the darkness, the demons, your habits, your selfishness, anything you give way to, you'll get that name. You'll get that name. That's the name you'll have. Are you with me? Are you still awake? I know the meeting's gone on a bit now. Are you still awake?
Yes.
Legion. His name. We don't know what his name was. Any guess? Maybe his name was Justice or something. Who knows what his name was? But you know, we get the name that's appropriate to our lives. If you're somebody who goes around telling lots of lies, do you know what name you're going to get? Liar. You're going to be called a liar. If you go around pulling fast ones on people and cheating and tricking them, you're going to get the name cheater or fraud or chancer. You're going to get that name. However, if you're kind to people, you're going to get that name too. If you're loving towards people, you'll get that name too. Amen?
Amen.
That's it. You become what you live out. That's the reality. You're shaped by the way that you live. You'll get the name in accordance with the way you live. And this man had no control over himself, and he was known as Legion. I'll bet you the people in the region called him Legion. But let me ask you a question. What's your name? What name do people call you? What name do they call you? What are you known as? What would people give you as a title, as it were? What name would you give it? You see, the thing about this is, in this situation, is this man was given the name by the person who owned him. It's called naming rights. Whoever owns something gets the right to name it. Isn't that right? Yeah? So when my three sons were born, people said to us, "What are you going to call them?" We didn't say, "Oh, well, we're waiting to get a name from someone's going to bring in a name. They're going to give us a name for them." No, we chose the name. We picked the name for them. And then we picked the appropriate name. Like, we didn't call our kids by dogs' names, for instance. We didn't call them Fido or Spot or Buttons. We didn't call the child. We called them an appropriate name, a name that was appropriate to them. And so this man's name was given to him by the one who possessed him. What possesses you? Who owns your life? Who owns your life? You see, I think that the answer to that question is very revealing. What do people call you? What is your name? What is the name you call yourself when things are quiet? When you make a mistake, do you knock yourself? Put yourself down? Criticize yourself? So yeah, they were right, I'm such a fool. Do you call yourself an idiot? A ghoul, maybe if you're from Cork? A fool? What do you call yourself? What is your name? It's such a profound question. I lay in bed thinking about it, thinking, "Lord, this is such a... What do I call myself?" My mother called me Michael. And I remember when I was a child, saying, "Mom, I don't like the name Michael. Because I found it hard to pronounce. Michael is such a big, long word to pronounce." And I said, "Ma'am, why did you call me Michael?" She said, "Son, there were seven of you. I was running out of names." I felt so blessed. I felt so sure. I was named Michael after my uncle. I had an uncle called Michael. That's how I was. Actually, two uncles called Michael. It was a common name in Cork at the time. But I was named that. But I was given nicknames over the year, and I'm not going to tell you any of those nicknames. I'm not going to tell you. And another thing that bugged me is that when I could say my name, Michael O'Donovan, it's six syllables. I mean, why did I get a six-syllable name? Why didn't you call me Dan? Dan O'Donovan, it'd be nice and short, like, you know? So I got this six-syllable name, which was fine until a teacher in authority or a Garda, not that I had too many interactions with the Garda, but when a Garda said, "Right, what's your name?" It just wouldn't come out of my mouth. Michael. So Michael O'Donnell, no, Michael. I couldn't say it because I was nervous if I was in trouble. And it's an interesting thing. You know, sometimes we're asked our names depending on the authority of the person who asks us our name, depends on our answer. Who has the authority in your life? And what is your name? What is your name? Because whatever habit you've got, you see, let me just make this point. I promise I'll move on then. Let me just make this point. You see, many of us think, well, this is just what I'm like. Our culture is not into saying, you are what you are. You do you. You be true to yourself. That's right. And we go, wow, that sounds so freeing. But it isn't. Jesus never said, be yourself. Never said it. Never even once did he say it. He never said, follow your dreams. He said, follow me. Amen. That's what he said. He didn't say, you do you. You follow your own truth. He said, you walk in my truth. That's what he said. But you see, sometimes we kind of have to give way to things. Like, it was a good, great question when Tom asked a while ago, how many people here are outgoing? And like, about a third was stood up and said, ah, oh, we're outgoing. And then about two thirds of people said, no, I'm not outgoing. Maybe I feel shy. You are not bound by your shyness. You might say, ah, well, I'm just lazy. It's just who I am. No, no, no. You're not bound by that laziness. Ah, look, I just get angry sometimes. It just comes on me. I can't control it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You are not trapped in your temperament, and you're not a prisoner of your personality. Amen. Do you hear me? You're not a prisoner of your personality, and you're not a prisoner of your past. Hallelujah. No matter what way you were shaped. You know how I know that? Because Paul says this. He said, if the Holy Spirit of God lives in you, the Holy Spirit, the living God, he produces this kind of fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I find it so hard to get on with people. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Oh, I'm just depressed all the time. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I always get angry. I'm getting angry with everybody in the family. Peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. God will change you. Can I get an amen? Amen. You're not a finished article at all. You're not a finished article. And don't listen to the lies of the culture. Are the lies of the devil that say you are what you are and you'll never change. What an absolute lie. Because if this man listened to that lie, he would never have found himself on his face before Jesus Christ. He would never have found himself if he believed that lie. Our culture is saying, you know, be yourself. But I love what this guy, John Mark Comer, says about the culture. He says this. He said, the irony of the be true to yourself culture is that everyone ends up looking the same. You be true to yourself. You do you. And I love his last line. Sin, it turns out, is incredibly cliche. Sin is such a cliche. And identity is such a cliche. Be true to yourself. Yeah, man, I'm a hippie. Have you ever noticed one thing about all the hippies? They all look the same. Have you ever noticed this? I'm a biker. Yeah, you wear a leather jacket, you have long hair and a beard. Yeah, you look all the same as all the other bikers. Are the goths? The goths are my personal favourite. Hey man, I'm a goth, you know, I just into self-expression and, you know, I'm looking gaunt and thin and pasty and black. And, yeah, you look like me like all the other goths. Is that what you mean? It happens to me all the time. I'm driving through the city centre because I don't know if you've noticed it, but all of the boys in their 20s in Ireland have the same haircut. Has anybody noticed that? Anybody noticed that? Every single one of them. No, I'm just going to be myself. Your haircut's the same as his haircut. You've all got the same haircut. And I'm driving through town and I go, oh, there's Robin, oh, there's Fiona, oh, there's Rory. No, no, I never see my children see the centre, but everyone looks like them. They all wear the same things. It's such a cod. It's a joke. It's a lie. To be true to yourself. No, be like Jesus. Amen. We don't believe that, Pastor Mike. I love what C.S. Lewis, there you go, I've said it. C.S. Lewis says, he says, who are you looking for? Who are you looking for? Because this culture is looking for themselves. Who are you looking for? I'm looking for myself, man. I mean, it feels so kind of like, yeah, American. Anybody here from the United States of America today? Yes. Hallelujah. Not so. Anyway, it just seems so cliche. I'm looking for myself. Well, this is what he wrote. He said, look for yourself and you will find in the long run only hatred, loneliness, despair, rage, ruin, and decay. But look for Christ and you will find him, and with him everything else thrown in. Everything else will be thrown in. You'll find him if you look for him. You see, this guy in these chains, he's bound up, he's stuck, he's demon-possessed, he cannot control himself. No amount of therapy, no amount of counselling, no amount of friendship and charity and close love would solve him. He had to encounter Jesus Christ to be set free.
Amen.
You do too. So does your neighbour. So does the member of your family. So does your workmate. They have to meet with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Story goes on, you know. How long more will it go on? It won't go on too long. Here we go. This is what happens next. Then the evil spirits begged him, Jesus, again and again, not to send them to some distant place. A distant place meaning not the sea, but the land. Don't send us into the sea. In Luke's gospel, it's called the abyss. They begged him again and again not to send them into the abyss. Now, what was the abyss? It was the bottomless pit. It was the bottomless hole. It was the chasm. That's what it was. And that was the bottomless pit. And if you spoke to Hebrew and you said, what would you consider to be the abyss? They all would have said the same thing. It's the sea. The sea is the abyss, because anybody who disappears in the sea is never seen again. It is literally the ocean of disappearance, the ocean of forgetfulness. Everybody who ends up in there disappears. And these fishermen who had come with Jesus were frightened of the sea. Any of the locals were frightened of the sea. They didn't like the sea. Most of them wouldn't have even swam. I said it last week, it wasn't a leisure activity to go sailing on the Sea of Galilee or on the Mediterranean. They did it to trade. They did it to work. They considered the sea, to the ancient mind, the abyss. The sea was the home of the devil and demons and the dead. That was the abyss. Are you with me?
Yes.
Yeah, here we go. Because something happens. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. Send us into those pigs, the spirits begged. Let us enter the pigs. That way then we can stay in the area. We can stay in this place, on the land, if you let us into the pigs. Any chance of that, Jesus? And it says this. It says that Jesus gave them permission. Fair enough. Go into the pigs. You want to go into the pigs? In you go into the pigs. And the evil spirits came out of the man. We don't know how this happens. He came out of the man and they entered into the pigs. And the entire herd of 2,000 pigs, giving you a handle as how many demons this man had, 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside off of this bluff into the lake and drowned in the water.
Yeah.
Into the abyss.
Hallelujah.
They begged him, don't send us into the abyss. Send us into the pigs. And Jesus said, okay, go into the pigs. And they went into the pigs. And then the pigs went into the abyss. Why did the pigs go into the abyss? Let me tell you why. Because Jesus doesn't do deals
Amen.
With demons.
Yes.
He doesn't do deals with the devil, and he doesn't do deals with darkness, and he won't do deals with the darkness in us either. Hallelujah. He will not let the shadow fall in our lives either. We won't be able to hold back some darkness for ourselves. He won't do deals with the darkness. He won't do deals with the darkness that threatens your life, the shadow that falls on your life. He won't do deals with it. He will say, be gone, in Jesus' name, we declare.
Amen.
He won't do deals with darkness. Hallelujah. There was a friend, a guy who became a Christian many years ago, back in the early 1990s. He became a Christian. It was a wonderful experience. He became a Christian, and his background had been black magic. He lived in one of the Southside suburbs. His background was black magic, and he literally practiced black magic, including sacrificing of animals. He had the wand, the spell books, he had a cloak. He did the whole thing. He had the whole lot. And he did practice curses and magic spells all the time. But hallelujah, he became a Christian and he was delivered from all that darkness.
Amen.
He was delivered from it. Hallelujah. And I was having a conversation with him one evening. And they said, it's just wonderful. Do you know what he decided to do? He decided to light a fire and he burned all of his books. He burned his spell books. He burned his cloak. He burned his wand. He burned everything associated with that life. And I said to this guy, I said, well done. It's just amazing. What an amazing breakthrough that you burned all of your books. I mean, that's one in the eye for the devil. Hallelujah. You burned all your books. You burned your cloak. You burned your wand. You burned everything. And he said, yeah. And then he smiled at me. And he said, well, I kept back one book. The strongest one. He said that to me. I kept back one book, the strongest one. I said, you have to get rid of that book. You can't hold back that. You can't say, well, I want God's light in all these areas of my life, but not this area. I want this area to myself. God doesn't do deals with darkness. He doesn't do deals with darkness. And he didn't get rid of the book. And what happened to him? He fell away from his faith. Got into a destructive lifestyle, and that was the end of his relationship with God. Do you know why? He left the devil with a foothold in his life. That's why Paul says, don't give the devil a foothold. Don't give him a foothold in your life. The pigs are drowned because Jesus doesn't do deals with darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And then everything becomes calm. And just like the sea was calmed, hallelujah, the man is calmed. The man is calmed. And the chaos in your life will be calmed in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
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 The chaos will be calmed in Jesus' name. It says this, the crowd soon gathered around and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons, who was howling, cutting himself, breaking chains, who was running around the place completely naked. He was sitting there fully clothed, perfectly sane. And they were all afraid. They were all afraid. When they saw him, it's like they could handle him when he was mad. Like, yeah, I can kind of put him into a box, but know that he's completely sane and fully dressed and he's perfectly normal again. They all became afraid. What? Really? It goes on to say this. And those who had seen what had happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. And the crowd began pleading with Jesus, go away, to go away and leave them alone. For a great wave of fear had swept over them. They were afraid when they saw the power of God on display. They couldn't cope with the fact that one whose name is Jesus stood on their shore and delivered this man from his demons. They couldn't get it. Like, no, Lord, go away from us. We don't want you around. It's too powerful. We can't take it in. Because whatever this story is about, whatever this story is about, let me tell you this, what it's not about. It's not about the sea. It's not about the abyss. It's not about the demons and it's not about the darkness. It's not about a possessed man. It's not about the howling. It's not about the crowds. It's not about the possession. It's not about the pigs. It's not about you and it's not about me. It's about Jesus. Amen. That's what this story is about. Who are you looking for? Are you looking for Jesus? Because he's the only one that can deliver you and heal your soul. He's the only one who can do it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I'm excited. I don't know about you. Here's the last part. Last verses. Last. Maybe the band will come up because we're at the stage. Like we're practically. It is your tea. You're going home for not your dinner at this stage. It don't matter. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It don't matter. This is what it says. It says Jesus was getting into the boat. The man who had been demon possessed begged to go with him. Lord, I just want to go with you. Like, look what you've changed my life so much. Look what you've done. I begged to go with him. And Jesus said to him, yes and amen. No, Jesus said. Go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been.
Amen.
Go home and tell your family. Amen. Tell them about all that, how God has done for you and how merciful he has been to you. And in that, here's the lesson for us. We don't have to be great preachers. We don't need microphones to set them up in the middle of the city centre. We don't need to be gifted evangelists or incredible speakers with power flowing through us. We don't need that. What we do need to be is faithful to tell people about all that God has done in our lives.
Amen.
That's it. When you go into work tomorrow morning and you meet a stranger who you haven't met before, ask them their name and take the opportunity. Here's what Paul says. He says to the Galatians, he says this. He says, let your conversation be full of grace and seasoned with salt. season your conversation with salt. What's it like season? What are you talking like? Sprinkling salt? What? He's saying, sprinkle your conversation with the preserving power of Jesus Christ. Sprinkle grace into your conversations. And when you have a conversation, don't forget to remember that you're a Christian, that you represent Jesus. And it can change people's lives. It can change people's attitude towards you. I can tell you this, and I know it, because there was a guy I used to work with years ago. We did not get on with each other. Now, this is many years ago when I was young and foolish. And we just fell out with each other, and we just didn't get on at all. And then one day, I fell out with this guy so much, I used to tell Tom about it. I used to bug Tom about it. Tom called him your alter ego. He said he's like, he's so the opposite of you. He's like, he's literally your alter ego. He's like the other version of you. But I remember the Lord speaking to me, and he said to me, I want you to love him. Just love him. Just love him. So one day, as I approached him in work, and I had never done anything to this guy, other than just being a Christian, genuinely, I'd never done anything to him. And as I headed towards him, I could see his face darkening. Here he comes, Michael. So I just went up and I said to him, how's your dad getting on? And his face melted. He said, thanks for asking. He said, he's not doing too bad. He had a heart attack, but he's in hospital. He's going to recover. And I said, I'm going to pray for your dad. Is that okay? Oh, he says, I never refuse prayer in the life of prayer. I can honestly tell you, it transformed the relationship between me and this man. Just simply showing him a bit of kindness. Just asking, saying to him, I'll pray for your dad. I mean, and it's not like this was a neutral guy. We did not like each other, I can tell you that. But I just decided to make a decision to love him and to tell him that I would pray for his dad and inquired after him. Do you know what happened subsequently? He walked into church here about 6 months ago. He said, I saw what you're doing online. It's amazing what you're doing inside that church. We had to come in, my wife. We had to come in and see what it's like in person. And I would say to you, if you're watching online, come in and check it out. It's nothing quite as good as being here in person. Can I get an amen? Nothing quite like it. But go home. No, go home today, brothers and sisters. Go home today and tell people about how merciful God has been to you. Go home and tell him how much God has done for you. And this is what it says. It says, so the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things that Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what they told him, what he told them. The story was so incredible, people were amazed. But he had to tell the story first. He had to tell the story first of what Jesus had done to him. So this week, here's the project of this week. Tell someone what God has done for you. Amen. Just do that. Just witness. That's what literally means to be a witness to what God has done. I witnessed this. I've experienced this. And you are a witness for Jesus by saying, listen, this is what God has done for me. Here's another tip. If you're having a meal somewhere this week, pray. Amen. Give thanks to God in public. How's about that? No. Just give thanks to God. People notice it. And they can feel and taste the difference. And they'll see that you're sprinkling that conversation with grace and with salt. Can I get an amen? Amen. Will you stand with me? I'll tell you why, because we're going to wrap it up. I want to pray for two things. I want to pray this morning that any of you who today have someone who's belonged to you that you know is trapped in darkness, that they would hear the name and the voice of Jesus Christ. Yes. That they would be delivered from the darkness that they're in this morning. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
I'm sure that you have someone who you know has no power over themselves, who has some part of their lives that they cannot control. But today we want to pray that the power of Jesus will be made evident in their lives this week. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That they will come to know him. And then for ourselves, within ourselves, we know that there may be an area, a corner that is dark. I want to say today, Lord, flood your light. Flood your light into this dark place, Lord. I'm no longer keeping anything back from you. Lord, I ask you to set me free from this area of darkness. I know people too long. I am a person myself. I know what it's like. We all have areas that are just maybe not as illuminated as they should be in the presence of God. A shadow that falls in a certain part of our lives and our hearts and our minds. But I want to pray today that God would shine his light into that situation and bring his deliverance to us individually. Can I get an amen?
Amen. Amen.
The band are going to play for us, How Great the Chasm That Lay Between Us, and then we're going to pray. Hallelujah. Let's worship.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night.
know of someone, let's close our eyes just for a moment. Let's close our eyes just for a moment. Let's start off with this one. If you know someone today who's bound, who has no power over themselves, who is bound by darkness and needs to know the light of Jesus, and you want to say, Lord, I want to bring this person before you. Will you set them free? Will you visit them? Will you pull up on their beach, Lord, and shine your light into their darkness? If you've got someone in your life like that, will you raise your hand wherever you are? I'm going to ask you to keep your hand high. I'm going to ask you to keep your hand up. For yourself, is there an area in your own life you say, Lord, I recognize there's a shadow in this area. I'm weak here. I need your strength here. I need you to shine your light into this area of my life. Whatever the form that weakness is, it doesn't have to be something as obviously destructive as you're addicted to heroin or something. It really doesn't. But you know that there's an area in your life that needs the illumination of the light of Jesus Christ in your life. You say, Lord, I'm asking you, will you flood this area of my life with your light today? If that's your prayer, wherever you are, will you raise your hand? I invite you to raise both hands high. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to sing. I'm going to ask you to come to the front. We're going to pray for 2 minutes. Is that all right? We're going to pray a final closing prayer on this. So maybe the guys will lead us. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you, will you come forward if you've said yes to either of those prayers? We'll make them real as we finish this morning.
Hallelujah.
You lads to lift your hands before the Lord. I want to pray first of all for you yourself. The prayer for you yourself. Hallelujah. Move, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Lord, we bring ourselves before you, Lord. We know that in our hearts and souls there are shadows, there are darkness, but Lord, you have come to bring life and light to our darkness. And we declare today that the darkness will not overcome the plan and purpose of Jesus in our lives. Today we declare that we choose not to make a deal with darkness. Today we declare that the darkness will not have the victory in our life. We declare that Jesus is the light of the world. In him was life, and his life is our light. And we declare today, Lord, the illumination of your presence and of your spirit and of your power in the hearts and souls and minds of our brothers and sisters as they bring themselves before you, as they bring those situations before you. Lord God, we declare, Lord, we need you. We need you, Lord, to light up our souls, Lord. Whoever is in this hall who needs that today, Lord. Maybe people calling out for the first time to you, Lord. Would you bring your life into souls, Lord, today who don't know you at all, Lord. Let your light shine in their darkness, Lord. And Lord, we pray for those that we love and that we long for. You know, whoever that person or people are, would you place them in your hands and lift them up before the Lord? You don't have to be here at the front. Anywhere in the room you can do it. Just raise your hands with that person who's bound in darkness today. We lift them before the Lord. Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you are our only hope. Lord, no amount of friendship or care or comfort will heal our souls. Will heal the souls of those we love. So we ask you, Lord, by your power, Lord, by your power, would you break into the darkness this coming week, Lord. Will you break into the darkness, Lord? Would you open all healing frequencies, Lord, and speak to those that we love and long for who are in need this week, we pray, Lord. We pray that the enemy's work will be bound up this week, Lord. We pray, Lord, that those who can break their own chains, Lord, by the power of the enemy, Lord, will have the enemy's chains in their lives broken by the true chain breaker, Lord. Let the true chain breaker be let loose in their lives, Lord, we declare. We declare, Lord, that no habit, no behavior, no practice has power over Jesus. Has power over Jesus. Lord, this week, Lord, there will be no deals. Lord, we as your people say this week, we will do no deal with the devil. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Lord, as your people, we say, we will do no deal with the demons. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Lord, we'll do no deals with the darkness this week, Lord.
Amen.
But we pray, Lord, our light and our life, Lord, would be flooded with your light, Lord.
Amen.
Our way this week, Lord, would be lit up by your presence, lit up by your provision, lit up by your plan, and lit up by your purpose, we pray in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can we all raise our hands before God as we close in prayer? This is our last closing prayer. Please remember we're going to be here again on Saturday night next week, not Sunday. We're here on Saturday next week. No Sunday, Saturday. Let's pray. I want to pray from that fantastic song, The Blessing. May his favor be upon you to 1,000 generations, to your children and their children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you and all around you and within you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and in your going, in your weeping and in your rejoicing, in Jesus' mighty name. And God's people say,
Amen.
Hallelujah. May his favor rest upon all of you, brothers and sisters.